This week, we're going to be revisiting BrewDog. It's been 6 months since we've kind of talked about them. We're going to be talking about their up-to-date news, and we're going to be looking at four of their non-alcoholic beverages. One of them being Nanny State, then Punk AF, Elvis AF, and Lost Lager AF. But before that, the hot topic.
Right, Simo, I asked Rich last week what he's been doing during the lockdown to keep it 3.0 here in the UK, to keep himself going. What have you been up to?
So I've decided to get into reading.
Oh, that's good. Very nice pastime, you know, intellectually stimulating. So what are you reading in order to broaden your horizons, your mindsets?
1 minute, can I just clarify? Are you learning to read, or are you already know how to read and you're just reading more books? Because each one I would believe.
I am reading more books.
More books, okay.
I can actually read. Thank you for that. Actually, I'm reading, it's a book about Star Wars in the frame of William Shakespeare, by a fantastic man called Ian Doerr.
So hang on. Did I hear that correctly? This is a Star Wars, but written in the style of William Shakespeare.
Yeah, and the film A New Hope, as in like that book, The New Hope, or the film A New Hope, and it's
that's the very first Star Wars, wasn't it?
Yeah. So the original, like the number four, technically. And and it's written like it's a Shakespearean novel.
Oh, Simo, please. I have no frame of reference what this might be like. Please give us an excerpt of what's, and maybe tell us what's happening, and then read us the excerpt.
Okay, so we're going to go to scene two of the very start of the books, and it is where Darth Vader iconically comes onto Princess Leia's Republic vessel. So, aboard the Rebel ship, enter Darth Vader carrying Rebel Leader One by the neck and Stormtroopers. Trooper One, the Death Star plans we could not find herein, nor are they on the main computer, Lord. In short, they are not here, and there's an end. And then Vader speaks.
Thou speakest well, my stormtrooper, and yet not well upon my hearing the message falls. I turn to thee, thou rebel, I lift. Thy head above my own, thou canst now choose.
This is painful.
To keep thy secrets locked, safe in that head. And therefore lose the life thou holdest dear, or else to keep thy head and thus thy life.
See, it's great.
It's not.
Okay, I think you can stop there. I think we get a good idea that. That is incredible that someone has gone to the lengths of reinterpreting Star Wars in the style of William Shakespeare, which, you know, is very much doth the estus just, you know, it's very like kind of broken sentences. And you're showing us the picture art right now, the cover art of it. And yes, it's like Darth Vader, but in like William Shakespeare, like style, you know, with the flourishes and the drawing. Yeah, it's okay. I didn't even think this existed. So, thank you very much for sharing that with us.
It's amazing.
Right, I'm so inspired by that. I feel like there's a bit more we can eke out of taking Shakespeare's famous quotes, because there's obviously so many of them, but making them more Star Wars. Rich, I feel like this is a task for you, because you've done a bit of Shakespeare in your time back at, you know, doing some plays. So what would you say is your, how would you make a quote Shakespearean Star Wars?
Well, I'll embody the play that I was in was Midsummer Night's Dream, and I played Oberon, King of the Fairies. It's a role... It's a role very dear to my heart and how I've taken in to day-to-day life. I try and act like Oberon. What a guy. But the line I've chosen for and gone with was, "The course of true love never did run smooth," said CP3O to R2-D2.
That famous quote by C3PO.
Yeah,
it works.
Simo, have you got one?
I'm gonna mix it up slightly with the very famous story is, "Shall I compare thee to a winter's day?" And it will be setting the scene when they're on Hoth. So there you go. I mean,
which of course was the ice planet. Yeah. So it was always winter. There you go.
I'm a genius. Thank you.
Well, I think this you've struck a new level here, Simo. This is you know, something very interesting that I've never heard of before. Taking something Shakespeare, but putting it with fan fiction of Star Wars. Love it. Right. Shall we get stuck into The Pursuit of Happiness and everything BrewDog? Okay, so a lot has happened in the 6 months since we last talked about BrewDog. I think we'll just, why don't we just do our kind of like a pick each of like a story or two, one after another. So the first one I want to start with is actually back in March of, 25th of March, 2020. So we didn't pick this up in our first one, but it's well worth noting that BrewDog got £150,000 worth of Punk IPA stolen, when thieves took off in, one of their lorries that basically was filled full of Punk IPA and, they just rolled off with it. So that was valued in BrewDog's eyes. At £150,000, and they just said basically they just didn't have any Punk IPA, so that everyone, all fans who had ordered through their website had to wait, you know, until they could brew some more beer. So, you know, not only did the thieves steal a vast amount of property and you know, considerable value of £150,000, but they also deprived a lot of people of their beer, which is just, you know, it's even more criminal, those criminals.
Yeah, and hopefully, like, annoyingly, they get to taste that beer. Yeah, I'm just really annoyed. It's actually making me angry. Like, I'm
well, also, what would they do with that? They've got a load of Punk IPA.
They would sell it online, wouldn't they?
Would they? So they'd set up their own shop and just say, like, we've got a load of Punk IPA to sell.
They'd sell it on eBay and stuff, wouldn't they? And just, like, mark up the price, I reckon. They can't surely drink it all, because that...
But that would be easy to find, wouldn't it? If someone's like, I've suddenly got £150,000 worth of Punk IPA and I'm not selling it.
I don't think, Joe, they're going to sell it. They wouldn't go, I have £150,000 worth. Can you buy it all in one go? I think they would sell it like slowly, like, oh, you want a six pack? Here's a six pack for this price. And they might sell it discounted and people would buy it, I guess.
Well, I mean, I'm no hardened criminal like yourself, Simo, in moving vast quantities of beer. But I would say, I mean, I'm just picturing it could be something like the Italian job, you know, get in, big job, and then get rid of it all. Big, high risk, high reward situation.
I would love to see the BrewDog version of the Italian job, though. I just don't think it would be as slick without Michael Caine and the minis and sort of thing. It just wouldn't be as cool. It'd be like a...
But they should definitely cast Michael Caine and the minis in the BrewDog Italian job. Like, do like a like-for-like, shop-for-shop.
What's that? What's the saying? I only told you to blow the bloody doors off. Is that film?
Yeah, but it's Michael Caine. He's not Australian.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't remember the Australian being in the film. It's because you're moving to Australia, Simo.
Right, next. We need to move on. Next story.
Very kind of up-to-date news. This is January the 8th, 2021. So this is like kind of flicking more forward to the future. BrewDog are giving away free lost lager beers. And you can get it by literally ordering it online. You can get a free 4-pack by just paying postage.
Is this open to everyone? Who's this for?
One in the UK.
Yeah. So it's a pretty awesome deal. And it's because they feel that everyone's struggling with the coronavirus and they want to do good. And they've said that 2021 has been tough so far. So we're giving everyone in the UK a chance to get a free four pack of our amazing new beer, Lost Lager. I absolutely love that.
So when Simo, we were talking about this a little bit earlier before we started recording. So I thought, you know what? I would like to get myself this free beer. So I jumped onto the website. I'm currently in a queue. Guess how long I've been in the queue for?
How long have you been on the queue for?
32 minutes. Do you want to know what place I am in the queue right now, as of this record? I'm still 2051.
Oh my word. Now, I remember they did a similar job with making people queue to get onto their website during the Black Friday sales that they did. So they did some Black Fridays and then they made people queue to get in it. And I couldn't get onto the website. I didn't want to go and buy beer. I wanted to go and check out my account, see where my order was, because they were so delayed in giving me my beer. Just because they were inundated by orders. And I have a feeling, Rich, that it was because of this 24 carat, gold. Punk IPA promotion. Yeah. Did you have a bid on that, or what that was all about?
I did, yeah. When they put in a golden can, and it was up to £10,000 if you found the can, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it was like Willy Wonka's golden ticket. And you had a can that was wrapped in like a gold ticket, so like the print was a ticket. And then what you would get from that is you'd get shares... And you would then get sent a golden can like a kind of showpiece, if you get what I mean. There was like a golden can that looked like it was dripped in gold, and it was kind of really cool. I went for it. I bought two crates and of punk and didn't win.
I'm guessing you didn't win. Otherwise, we probably would have heard about it.
Yeah, didn't win.
So probably would have got a better haircut too.
However, I would say this. It's one of those situations where even though you didn't win, you're like, well, I still got a load of punk IPA to drink. So that's a positive.
It sounds like it was a win-win, you know? Yeah. Unfortunate on one hand, but also on the other hand, you still got what you paid for.
Oh, damn, I have all this punk IPA. However, punk IPA in my house is very dangerous because if it's there, I want to drink it.
It's very tasty. Well, last bit for me, and I'm sure you guys have maybe a couple more, but basically, the latest news is that with the vaccine rollout here in the UK, BrewDog have offered up their bars and restaurants as vaccine centres. So basically where you can go and get your inoculations. They've offered it to the Scottish and the UK governments. But I don't know whether or not they'll take them up on that offer or if it's just a kind of a publicity stunt, but it's a nice gesture nonetheless. You know, they have empty space right now and they're saying, please use our space. Come in, you know, if you need extra centres, extra space to give the vaccine rollout, then use our space. So I like it. Even if it is a bit of a PR stunt, I really like the idea that they are just saying, look, just it's empty space, use it.
No, I like it. So I've got a bit of news that I think you boys will find quite funny.
Oh, hang on. That's a big statement. So, all right, let's go for this. It better be funny. I'm ready.
I'm limbering up my tickle bone.
Yep. So, I like that. So BrewDog introduced the hybrid burger. Have you heard of this?
No, what's a hybrid burger?
No.
So the hybrid burger is 50% plant-based Beyond Meat and 50% beef burger patty.
Wow. Okay.
Hang on. So it's just a beef burger with veg in it, right?
No. What's ridiculous about it is that usually you have one or the other. So either you're a meat eater or you're a vegetarian, or you're a meat eater that wants to eat vegetarian food, but you never put them together.
No.
That doesn't make any sense.
So,
but also, a vegetarian can't now eat it.
Exactly.
So what's...
So I'll read you the description of the burger. So introducing the hybrid burger, 50% plant-based Beyond Meat, 50% beef burger patty, melted vegan Gouda cheese, crispy onion straws, potato rosti, all sandwiched between matcha tea buns. 50% less meat, 100% delicious.
I mean, I'm all up for it. I'd definitely try that. Although, unfortunately, vegetarians aren't going to be too stoked about it because they definitely can't, they still can't eat it. But, you know, they'd have to get the Beyond Meat version. But actually, Rich, I think you've there hit upon something which I've been coming to grips with a bit there, or I've been coming to see with BrewDog. You don't have to go fully get rid of what you've been doing before, i.e. eating meat, but it's about reducing the levels of meat, even the levels of beer. And I think that nicely sends us into talking about their alcohol-free range. Talk to me, guys, about your first thoughts about, A, the fact that BrewDog are even doing an alcohol-free range and why that is. We'll then get into the beers. So, Simo, why do you think they're doing an alcohol-free range?
So, I mean, let's be honest, in the way that everything is beer is going now, that you have to have a non-alc range. So I think they would be missing a step if they didn't do it. Now, for me, the way they've done it is either risky or really good. So they've got, I know they've got one designated one that is low, is it low alcohol or non-alcohol?
It's alcohol free. Very clearly states on it, it's alcohol free.
It is 0.5, but they class it as alcohol free. Now, that is nanny state, but then they've also, which I think is a risky thing now, we've looked at other like non-alcs to alcs, and they've also got three other beers that have gone with a version that is alcohol free. Now, I think that's a big risk because you are linking a beer that is very good and I think people love. And
the original one, right?
Whichever it may be. So the Punks, the Elvis Juice and the Lost Lager, I love all three of them. I really enjoy them. Now, you're putting a massive risk by throwing in an alcohol-free version because if it's not good, people are going to link it to that beer. Whilst with Nanny State, Nanny State is Nanny State. And it's kind of, I like the way they've done that one.
Just from a branding or association point of view. So I think you've absolutely, and we talked about this in both our Doombar and Old Speckled Hen conversations, because both of those companies have decided to make their zero or non-alcoholic versions closely linked with the original beer. And both of the beers were so far away, if not undrinkable, in my opinion, to the original. Or just as a liquid itself, like they didn't taste good at all. So I think you're right, Simo. There's something going into this already. When I'm thinking about these, and I'm going to try these BrewDog alcohol frees, especially when it comes to the Elvis Juice, which is my favorite BrewDog beer of all time, the grapefruit infused ale. I really love this one. So I've already got an expectation that this version, the alcohol free version, has to be good.
Well, for me, the Punk has to be good because it is the original. It is their main, that is the thing that, for instance, you could get a golden can that was like this amazing thing, and they've really pushed the idea, and like all over their beer is, you know, the beer that started it all. It's their original. It's their epic. It's their number one. It's the big deal. And for me, if you get the alcohol free one wrong, it is a big deal.
Right. Let's do this. Let's do it in fair order. We could do it by Punk AF first because it's the original one, but I think we try their through and through non-alcoholic, their nanny state one, the one that doesn't have an original alcoholic one. Let's do that one first.
Okay.
Rich, give us your first thoughts.
So have a smell. It doesn't smell that bad. compared to some of the others with smell, the initial hit. Remember Three Star Joe? The initial smell of that was not great.
That was very distinct. But if I'm honest, the initial smell of Nanny State, the first thing I got, it smelled like chlorine.
I think it just smells like the tin, like the inside of a tin.
No, I'm sold on it. I like it. It's good.
All right.
Okay, that's good. No, everyone smells different. Everyone smells differently. That's good. Okay, taste.
Oh wow. Mm. Boys, that
God, this stuff.
The worst part.
It tastes like weird water.
The aftertaste has a chemically aftertaste in my mouth. That's what's lingered, and that's what stayed the most with me right then.
Yeah, I mean, I got it from the smell. Like I said, chlorine, but it was very chemically is what it smelled like, and the taste, especially the aftertaste, you're absolutely spot on. It's chemicals. Like I can't, there's nothing that's like a beer in that. And that it tastes like, I've never obviously drunk bleach, but I'd imagine it must be like a bleachy taste, you know?
Well, I feel like the first, like when you first taste it, there is no taste.
No, there isn't.
As in, I don't feel like there is any taste until you allow it to hit your back of your throat. Like I feel like you get the taste when it hits the back of your throat. I think your original first sip is like, there's nothing. And it's like, oh, okay.
They don't have a nanny state that's alcoholic, so we've got nothing else to compare it to. But if this is the starting point for their alcohol-free range, it's not off on the right foot, because this is, I can't in my own conscience recommend to listeners to try this nanny state. It is not very good.
I don't want to continue drinking it at all. I've had two sips and I've had some more, and it's just not improving. It's not getting better. I'm not enjoying trying this beer.
I just don't think there's... It's a bit weird for me because, you know, I love BrewDog, and it's weird to... Like, you're tasting it and you're like... I just feel like there's not even anything unique about it. It's just...
No, there's definitely something unique about it. It's horrible.
There you go. And that's Nanny State. So that's definitely, from our view, is you don't need to try that one. Probably best not to try that one, because I think that's going to put you off it a little bit. Right, let's do the Punk AF, the beer that started it all. Let's see how they've managed to replicate the original Punk IPA in alcohol-free version.
So I've just tried the original Punk IPA, and it's quite, you know, it's quite, it feels dense, it's full flavour. It's got an it's amazing. So,
well, listeners can go back to the very first podcast episode to get our full breakdown of Punk IPA.
It's not smelling fantastic.
It smells like Nanny State.
Okay, so it's got that kind of chemicalness that's kind of coming in a little bit.
Is it odd? Like it smells like rhubarb.
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 Yeah, rhubarb.
You might not be wrong. If that's what you're smelling, that's what you're smelling. Like, I'm not getting rhubarb, if I'm honest, but it's nowhere near as chemically smelling as the Nanny State. This is, it's actually already smells a little bit sweeter.
Okay. For me, it doesn't really taste of anything.
No, I kind of disagree with that, if I'm honest. It has a better flavour already.
Yeah.
It's not a great flavour, but it's got a better flavour than the Nanny State. Now, the Nanny State was a very low bar, but this is better.
My best way to describe it is a watered-down Punctor from the initial. It's a watered-down version. I'm getting a hint of it. It's make yourself a glass of water in a glass you've just had squash in. So there's a little bit of squash remains at the bottom, but you're like, you know what? I still need a bit of drink. Maybe save myself on the washing up. I'll fill the same glass back up, but there's that little bit of orange juice left at the bottom. And you're like, oh, a cheeky orange juice hit sort of thing. That's what this tastes like.
Rich, you've absolutely nailed the analogy for that. It is quite literally like you've had an orange squash the glass before, and now you've just filled it up with water. So it's a really weak flavour of what was done before. And I think also as well, our minds are probably doing a lot of the work here because we know Punk IPA so well, and the taste palette is fresh in our minds. I mean, Simo, you quite literally just drank it before you had this one. So you've got Punk IPA already ingrained in what you must, what your brain's going, this is what it should taste like. And then you've got this version, which, as you said, is a very watery down version.
I think Drab was right, as in he nailed it on the head there. But as in, this is drinkable in terms of if you wanted definitely compared to Nanny State, this is far more drinkable. But I still don't think I'd want to drink more than one or two of these.
What I think I might do, because I've got a case of Punk IPAs and I've got a couple more of these because I bought this in a 4-pack. What I might end up doing is do a Punk IPA, Punk AF, Punk IPA. Punk AF. So I've only actually drunk two alcoholic beers, but I've split out, but then I've technically had the liquid of four, but I've only drunk two alcoholic beers. And I think that could be quite palatable just to have that kind of break in between.
Yeah. I mean, I just think that because of how distinctive the original is, it will always feel like a letdown. It sounds bad, but like,
yeah,
it just isn't as good. So you know that you can get better. And I know, obviously, I think that's the issue is I think because of the name, by putting Punk on it, you're instantly making people think of the original and they're going to drink it going, oh, but the original's better.
No, you're absolutely right. You're right. There's no compromise to the original. The original is Punk IPA. It's the one size of all. It's delicious. And I do think that they've tried to, I don't know if they've even tried to replicate actual Punk IPA. I think they've just brewed Punk IPA and then they've done the traditional form of making non-alcoholic beers, which is adding something to it to take the alcohol away from it. Mm. And then they've packaged that up as Punk AF and then they've sold it off. So they haven't given it the proper consideration that this needs to be a non-alcoholic version of the Punk IPA, but how do we make it taste like Punk IPA? They've just gone, this is quite literally Punk IPA, but with the alcohol taken out.
Mm. Yeah.
And this is the result. And it goes back to the squash analogy. That's exactly what it is.
And it is amazing how taking the alcoholic content away from a beer changes it so much. I think it is really fascinating how much it does it.
Right, let's talk about then, if that's Punk AF, let's talk about Elvis AF, which, as we know from our previous hot topic, they can't call it Elvis Juice AF. They've had to just make it Elvis AF. Simo, you've had Elvis Juice before in the past, the grapefruit-infused ale. Tell me what you're picturing in your mind of what that tastes like.
Like fruity brilliance. I think Elvis Juice is one of the most unique things I've had. So I would expect it to be, even if it doesn't have that kind of heaviness or whatever, you'd expect it to have the fruity natures, because surely you can keep the fruitiness in a beer.
Right. So on the nose, it is exactly that. It smells of grapefruit. I mean, that's great. The grapefruit is the nose smell, and that was always going to be overpowering, just like the smells, because obviously if you put any fruit into it, it's just any beer, it's going to smell like the fruit. So it delivers on that. It smells like the grapefruit. Rich, what do you picture as the taste of Elvis Juice? Remember back to what that tasted like.
Remember being quite fruity.
Yeah, that grapefruit coming through.
Yeah, quite citrusy, bitter.
Yes, good word.
Yeah. So Elvis Juice AF is very, it tastes like grapefruit because it's got grapefruit in it. Okay. So if you're looking at, but similar to any kind of AF, alcohol free version, it is missing that kind of full bodied or that full flavor that the original ale has.
Hmm.
But if you look at this and think about this, instead of it being, is it exactly like the Elvis Juice? And you think of it maybe more in the kind of like, is it a grapefruit infused fizzy water? Then that is the way that I've just thought about it. And it's really palatable. It's really drinkable in that way. It's a very tasty grapefruit-infused fizzy water.
Okay, good. So it's more drinkable than the ones you've had already.
This, by far. So I'd put Nanny State as the worst one we've had so far.
Yeah.
I'd put the Punk AF just after that, and I'd put this one so far, the Elvis AF, on top. So this would, for my opinion, I think you need to try... You don't need to try the Nanny State. I think you need to try the Punk AF. I think people could get on board with drinking this Elvis AF, like, just because...
It's good.
It's actually a very tasty alternative to a beer, but it is not a true reflection of Elvis juice, but... It has got grapefruit in it. So that's the only connection.
I think what's kind of evident with all this non-alcoholic stuff we've been having is ales are quite hard to replicate flavors. I feel like to get the taste of an ale without the alcohol, because of the way it's made, is just so difficult to make it replicate the original. Whilst when Joe, you've just said, because of the emphasis with Elvis is... grapefruit, you can make that, you can put that replication in it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And so maybe that's the problem with, like, for instance, the ones we've had in the past, which are traditional ales that have tried to do non-alc. It just doesn't work because you don't have the emphasis on the flavor. But the last one we're going to look at is, what is it, Lost Lager?
Lost AF, which is their alcohol-free version of the Lost Lager.
Now, this is going to put my test to the maximum.
We're now testing your theory that lagers are easier to replicate as alcohol-free than ales. That's your theory?
That's my theory, yeah.
Rich, what do you reckon? Do you think it's a well-founded theory, or do you think he's talking out of his arse again?
I'm going to go talking out of his arse, but that's just that's just what I think of most things that Simo say.
So, from the smell, it doesn't smell good. I don't want to be too vulgar about anything, but it smells like stale urine.
Oh,
fantastic news.
So it doesn't smell good. Like, I'll be very upfront with that. It smells like gone off lager. And that's not a pleasant smell at all.
So it smells like it's been sitting in the taps a while.
Ah, interesting. So yeah, the smell is not good.
Yeah.
The smell is as you said, it seems like it's a bit stale. It's been around for a while. And I use the term word, I use urine, but it's just like, it is. It's something that doesn't smell. It smells off, but it's not like off water or stale water. It definitely has something untwinning to it. The taste, though, actually quite palatable.
Does it taste like the lager?
Now, the lager is a pretty good lager. It's not my favourite lager, if I'm honest, but it's a pretty good one. This is an okay replication of that okay lager. if that's the criteria, we're kind of watering down the levels, right? So the lager, the Lost Lager is okay, and this is a watered down, I keep using the word watered down version, but it's a less flavourful version of the lager. But it is better. It's way better than Nanny State. It's better than the Punk AF. And arguably, if you're not looking for a grapefruit-infused fizzy water, it's better than the Elvis AF.
So what you're saying is that I'm not talking out of my ass.
Well, no one's fully disproving you right now.
Yeah.
That's where I'll put that. I'm not taking talking out of your ass off the table.
However, you've also said that in the past that Heineken 00 is really good.
I am a big fan of Heineken 0.0. I think that is, as a lager goes, that's the best alcohol-free lager that I've had.
Lager.
I think I'm going to have to get my... I'm going to have to try this Heineken 00.
Well, because you go into it, it's called Heineken 00. You think it's going to taste like Heineken. And guess what? It delivers on that. It tastes like Heineken. Now, the problem with these Punk AF, the Elvis juice, and the Lost AF is that it's meant to taste, or your brain is already going, it's meant to taste like the original. And it doesn't, unfortunately.
That's why I think, like, things like Nanny... Like, calling it Nanny State, which is their alcohol-free... beer, Nanny State, is a safe thing because it doesn't link you to what... I just think you get disappointed because you instantly think of the flavours that you've had before.
Well, I'd agree with you that it's going to be very safe because you'll see the green of the Nanny State and you'll never pick it up because of how disgusting it actually is. Now, I would say you're potentially going to be able to be a bit confused by the Punk AF, the Elvis Juice, and the Lost Lager because they take the same can, the exact same can design as the originals, and the same colour. So, you know, the Punk AF is this light blue colour, like kind of turquoisey blue. But what they do is they gradate the bottom into a fine silver on the can. Now, Rich, you've got the bottle, so you can tell us what you're seeing in a second.
So I was going to say, yeah, it's very, very similar to the, if you would get Punk in the bottle, which Simo's showing me now. And all they've done really is just change the, of course, it's Punk AF, and they've just made it a lighter, whiter backdrop instead of like the nice dark blue that they're not dark blue. That's a darkish blue they would have on it.
Baby blue.
Baby blue.
Yeah, so I think there is potential cause for confusion in that sense. I mean, thankfully, they aren't so disgusting. Like, you will know the difference if you pick up an alcohol-free by accident, you're wanting the original. Okay, so you are going to know straight away by tasting it that it is not the original. But at least you will not have accidentally picked up a nanny state and start drinking that and go, what the, I've just wasted all my money.
As in, I generally think that if you've never had BrewDog before and you picked up a nanny state, you'd get the wrong idea about the company.
You would never, ever want to drink BrewDog again if that was what you assumed all of their beers taste like. It was a huge swing and a massive miss for them for whatever they were thinking.
So I put those in that order, right? So we're saying that nanny state, don't try it.
Yeah.
Punk AF.
Give it a go.
Try it, because it's, but you probably won't drink it afterwards.
Yeah. Get one can if you can. Get one can.
The Elvis, which, or a bottle. I think they sell one bottle, but they would always sell 4 cans as a minimum. Elvis AF, I think try it, especially if you're going into it with the mind of it's a grapefruit infused fizzy water. And actually the Lost AF, the more I've got through this, I'm probably going to buy alcohol-free Lost AFs. Like, I do like these. Like, I'm probably going to supplement my, you know, my kind of tasting of beers with alcohol, with alcohol-free Lost AF. I think it's a very good, and for what it is, because the fact that it's non-alc, it's lower calories, you know, I'm now doing the sales pitch for it, but it's, that's just what you get with alcohol-free, is it's less calories, it's less alcohol, obviously. I think that's, it does enough, it does, it, it that makes up enough of the loss of the flavor from the original.
Nice.
That's kind of, we've kind of delved deep, haven't we, into this. So I think we're done. I think we're happy to move on and get cracking. Have a fantastic time, everybody.
I was going to say, well, I suppose that kind of brings us to the end of all of our non-alcoholic stuff we've been doing through January.
Yeah, I think actually this BrewDog episode will go out in February, just with timings, with when they were editing, because we've got 2 other episodes. But yeah, that should wrap up everything that we're doing over the dry January month. You know, we've done a lot of non-alcs. We've also done original beers that are also offering non-alcs now. See us in the rest of February, where we'll be talking and expanding on way more breweries. We have Meantime coming up.
As we're wrapping up sort of thing, we've tried a lot of different non-alcoholic beers over the time. I think we probably will dip in and out over the rest of our podcast time, like the original to the non-alcoholic. And I think it's an interesting comparison to make. And I think it's something we'll probably continue to do if there is a noticeable one that we can do at the time.
Definitely. And I think I think it's always worth having a pop at trying both, just because seeing what it's like, because sometimes it's worth it. Sometimes, as we've seen, it's definitely not. Laters.
And that's all we have time for this week's episode of the I'll Try That podcast. And so from me, Joe,
Rich,
and Simo,
goodbye. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram,
Twitter,
and watch us on YouTube.
Goodbye now. Always drink responsibly. And if you or anyone else needs some help, go to drinkaware.co.uk for more information.